quick turn to Galatians chapter 5. Talking about fruit. Fruit, and this is a reminder of where we are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-law. Right? So we've been exploring this metaphor these past several weeks of fruit. And I mentioned last week, you recall that in that metaphor, it's this aspect of what fruit is as something that God does. Free. We don't make fruit. Fruit happens. And so it's a God, it's a spirit. God's spirit produces fruit. But cultivation, some care, some encouragement. Here we can encourage our grapevines to produce. Involve fertilizing. Involve pruning. See, so this metaphor can go all over the place, all right? So, you know, as with how God is working us by His Spirit. Now, the other interesting thing about this metaphor, and much has been made of it, but in Paul's grammar here, did a very good job. He said, the fruit, singular, and then he lists all these, we think maybe are fruits. Okay, so I really do. Because, again, trying to stay with this method, good answer. I'm still working on it. Okay, because you look at these different aspects of fruit, and you know, right here, you know, looking at myself, I can look down that list and I could rank myself 1 to 10. Love today, you know, 7, 2 today. My self-control, that's Bill, 4. You know, we can rank these things. Yes. So what do we do with ourselves or another Christian? And maybe they're kind, but self-control life is God's spirit in them, and that's what we gotta be and understand. This is fruit. This is the big picture of what a Christian is. I think as we go along in the fourth one today, it's not just, you know, love is this little thing, and joy is this little. We've already seen that they cross over a lot. That part of joy is love, you know, and part of peace is joy. You know, I mean, they're all there. So patience, right? Yeah. When I was, I believe, our church did the songs, right? It was about the fruit of the Spirit, and I just remember that. So the songs always go through my head. Of course, the Have Patience one is about a snail who's always hurrying. His dad takes singing that to my children, and my wife, my family. And they love it. They love it when I sing that song, right? Patience. Well, what is patience? What we dictionary defines it as capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Okay. Oof, I don't like that, but okay. Now, as we look at what the Bible says, it's pretty good, but there's some aspects that we want to look at. It talks about patience here. This word, patience. See, a couple of aspects to it. And in fact, some different Bible versions might have words there. Which is long-suffering. Okay. Two aspects of patience that we want to including there are one, the idea of long suffering. We don't use that very, okay, and it's that idea of enduring suffering and patience there. Okay, the second aspect of is the idea of forbearance. Again, another word that we don't use too often, and maybe we should. Patience to do that, right? Okay, so if that's the aspect, quote I got from my book I've been reading says this. So as far as long-suffering goes, that is the ability to endure for a long time, whatever opposition and suffering may come, and to show perseverance without wanting retaliation. And then on the forbearance side, that is the ability to put up with the weaknesses and foibles of others, including other believers, and to show forbearance toward them without getting quickly irritated enough to fight back. I don't know about you. All right? This is a tough one. It's hard. This is the nitty-gritty of dealing with people in a church that we love and care for, and families, but on the street, and the drivers going by, and our politicians, everybody, right? This takes strength. This takes stamina. Listen, it's not easy. And it does not come naturally. It needs to be fruit. That's why we need the Spirit to cultivate and to move this in us. Okay? So if we're thinking fruit, you know, let's think about what? Okay? Because we're talking about fruit. Fruit is the Spirit in us, God's character worked out in us. God's character of love, His Spirit works out love of us towards others, right? So we want to keep that in mind. So I want to look at two aspects of God's patience. Okay, one is the patience of God that particularly in the Old Testament, all right? Often people, Old Testament God, the angry God. Angry Testament, and you got the happy Jesus. Okay, that's terrible, terrible, right? It's awful. A lot of patience, Old Testament. In fact, look Exodus chapter 34, where we look at fruit. Okay, so Exodus. All right, so this is a time when, you know, they did the stupid golden calf thing, and all this is going on. And then we have this, verse 34. Well, in 33, when Moses finished speaking to him, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. That's why I'm in the wrong verse. Chapter 34, verse 6. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in and sin. So we see there, slow to anger. That's God's patience. That idea of patience. Flip over to, there's a wonderful psalm, Psalm 103. If you ever just want to be encouraged, at verse 8, echoes what we saw from Moses. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or pay us. I think, generally speaking, God has just reason to judge. But the whole the message of the Old Testament is God holding back his desire to not be angry, to not give us what we deserve. We just read that. We don't get what we deserve. And it's wonderful. And even when the anger is deserved, he's patient. His desire, even his anger, is one of restoration. Seek repentance. He says, Lord, please come. I'm angry. You've done wrong. I have every reason to want from us. He's very, very patient. Another, just real quick, in Micah chapter 7, and starting at verse, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant to show mercy? So we see there his patience, even if he is angry, it does not last. He does not keep it on us. And of course, in places like Isaiah 53, the ultimate act of patience with us, he wants us to come to him, and in his patience and his love, he gave his only son. And that leads us to a second, and that is the patience of Jesus himself. Jesus modeled patience to you read through the Gospels and just deal with the disciples alone. Oh, often they just didn't get it, didn't understand. You tell them something and they do the opposite. Their faith was low and all these things, right? And Jesus showed who we all know was the great denier of Jesus for a bit there. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, just take a look at his penalty. All right. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating long and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example you should follow in his steps, his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By our great model of patience is Jesus' cross. When we are struggling with patience, when we are just wanting more patience, look to Jesus. And we'll see that entail for us. That's always the question. What do we see? Again, God is doing the work by Spirit. And then so more and more we should see this fruit growing. We should this aspect. All right. So if we look at the first of the long suffering, that endurance of suffering. You always hear this sometimes. Experience opposition. All right. It shows that God's people will suffer from hostility of God's enemies. There are those out there, the enemy of God, faces against God. Human and such principalities, this world will oppose those who have the Spirit of God in them. And it's going to happen. Be patient in these things. Christ's example is crucial in this spring. All right. And just to camp here a little bit in 1 Peter and how this works out. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 4, and go to verse. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial happening to you, but rejoice that you are Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or any other kind of, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as gain, but praise God that you bear that. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if you do not obey the gospel of God, and it is hard for the righteous, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will be suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their fruitful creator. Peter here is painting the picture of patience, of long suffering. So now I want to, from this scripture here, I want to point out, don't get nervous, okay, quickly, 8 takeaways about suffering and patience, okay? 1, don't be surprised, right? That's easy, right? That's what he says. Oh, don't be surprised, all right? If you're a Christian and you're like, hey, why are people bugging me? Why are people opposing me? And that's how it is. Persecute or push back against you, okay? It's expected. It's normal. It's okay. It's okay. Again, that's a crazy attitude to have, and it's not normal. It's not normal. Normal people do not rejoice when they're being annoyed by people, when people are a thing, which is exactly why this. And I love in verse 13 the reason. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so is revealed. It's an identity issue. The joy comes in, I am Christ. If I'm being persecuted by a Christian, that's like mine. I'm identified with him. And that's what's so important. In verse 14, we see that because we are blessed, that this suffering, this persecution, whatever it may be, is actually a blessing. It's a reassurance that the Spirit of God is in you. That's the promise from Romans 8. And we can know, how do we know the Spirit's in us? And part of it is because, a takeaway from this in suffering is, don't confuse suffering as a Christian with suffering from doing something stupid, right? They're different things. Very different things. And this is a big one. This really go down a rabbit hole here. We think in our evangelical Christian culture and our own selves is we just want everything that I suffer, find uncomfortable because I'm a Christian and therefore, I can be angry about it. Careful that on deciding what we're suffering for because I'm a Christian, it may not be. I like really good guy. But he'd often just be in conflict with people. And guys who knew him, he said, hey, he said, oh, I'm a Christian. People are giving me a hard time. And those friends, that's what you tell him. No, you're being a jerk. That's not for being a Christian. I love in that verse, he said, of being a meddler. A murder thing. Okay, I'm good on those things. A meddler. Or getting other people's business. So be careful. Now, again, in our culture, there is a definite... to say, right? Okay? But we don't want to have a persecuted complex. Because, in America, there are elements against religionality, but overall, generally speaking, we are not suffering very much. We do sometimes, and we need to pray for each other. It's there. But be careful. Be careful. And, frankly speaking, truthfully speaking, overall, generally, I was reading some articles kind of things, religious freedom's winning. Pretty consistently across the board, in our universities and all kinds of things. But don't get caught in as a Christian and think because you're being stupid or doing something wrong. Is saying they're being persecuted for being Christian and their reaction is anger and lashes and demanding their rights and those kinds of stuff. Could be right for so. I'm careful. I want to be with my basis in these things. Okay, 5. Don't be ashamed. And again, that's our identity. To be persecuted for the name of Christ means that I'm Christ. That's good news. That's good news. You are being identified. They saw, if you're not being persecuted, if there's nothing in your life that's annoying you because you're a Christian, if it's not there at all and you're just happy, perfect life in every way, you're like, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not saying that, but it's just naturally going to rub. You're a Christian. You're all over. But don't be ashamed because that's our identity. And in fact, number 6, it says, praise God because of it. Because you or me, this is about Jesus. Isn't that? 7, I love in 17 there, he says, this persecution is in judgment is working something in us. Okay, it's judgment on us to purify us. It's this aspect of molding us into his part of that is the persecution. But and he's saying, hey, if it's happening to you now in this way, what's it going to be like in the future for those who are not Christians, who are disobedient? They have an eternal perspective. That whatever range of suffering or persecution you have, it's a breath of mist in the early morning compared to the eternity that we are going to experience with Christ. And so when we think we got it so bad, we can hang on. Oh yeah, you're going to get it. And I'm going to be there. No. Our response should be on our knees. Lord, open their eyes. Help them. I mean, I'm suffering a little bit now, but that future, that's eternal. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Verse 19, you know, carry on. You know, it said, are we screwed up? Those who are suffering God's will should commit themselves to faith creator and continue. Keep going. Christians, be Christian. That's right. Christians, be Christian. That's what the world needs. That's what God calls us to and be. You don't fight back. You be Christians and keep going and doing good. Okay, so that was that. That fruit. A spirit of forbearance. And you see how it's fruit. It's all these other things, right? The idea of forgiving one another, to put up with other people, to bear with others when they're annoying or irritating, in choosing to overlook hurt. I'm not fighting back with anger or harsh words. It's being aware of our own shortfalls and weaknesses. Yeah, that pull the plank out of my own eye. And again, when someone just highlight a couple things for us quickly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you can turn if you wish or not, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and starting at verse 12, Paul puts it this way. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to live in peace with each other. We talked about that last week. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, how to be kind to each other and to everyone else. I love those verses because that's fruit. That there's so much going on in love and forgiveness and peace and patience. And how Paul here encourages, you know, those people, those irritating, the idle, dismiss them, love them, take them in, encourage them. That's patience. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and again, there's a whole lot going on there, isn't there? That's fruit. That's how it's fruit thing, and we have to look at them all. But here is be in unity with each other. You're one body. You're one people. This is what peace and patience is. And one more. Well, go to verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and demand patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Bottom line, in this fruit of the Spirit, because I am forgiven, I can forgive. That's fruit. That's where it comes from. Patience is a tough but tender fruit of the Spirit. Tough but tender. I picture it as a thing. I mean, you couldn't even... You almost had to take a hacksaw to it to get it open, you know. But when you did, man, but that's how I picture patience, all right? It's tough. We know that. I mean, you don't have to go any further than your own household to know the difficulty of patience sometimes, right? But Jesus forgave. Jesus is along with love and joy and peace and the rest of it. You know that. Idea of Christians being Christian. How to respond when I read a Facebook post that I don't agree with? How do I show fruit of spirit? How do I show real love for somebody with? How do I show real fruit in the Spirit of God in a world that together we can do this? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful to you. And I thank you that by your soul in this area of patience, both in long suffering and in forbearance, we pray, Lord, that your will be done, and confidently, go forward with these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.